In these early weeks of the season of Pentecost, the church reads the Sermon on the Mount and the Gospel, the middle of the second of the three Gospels that we just heard, are the final words that Jesus gives in the Sermon on the Mount. They're very familiar to us. We're all building a house, and some of us are building it on rock, and some of us are building it on sand. And this is really a beautiful sort of a completion, capstone, summary, culmination of the entire Sermon on the Mount, because it invites us to go back and reflect on the words that he's just given us and how important they are for us. In the Gospel for today, he tells us that everybody's going to experience storms in this life. Nobody escapes us. The wise, the foolish, the rich, the poor, the Christians, the non-Christians, the Jews, the Gentiles, the slaves, the free. Everybody gets to experience storms of all different sorts. We know them well. Illnesses and sorrows, lost jobs, coronavirus, inconveniences. The dinner got burned. There's trouble in the garden, pests in the garden. Whatever. Life is full of trials. Tensions with our family members, parish communities. These storms, trials of life, Jesus says, are going to be common to us all, but they're going to reveal something about us. They're going to reveal how we respond to his word. So we have the second thing in common, that we've all heard him in some way. We all have storms, but we all have heard him. Not everyone maybe has heard the Sermon on the Mount, but we have here. We can't use this as an excuse to say, well, maybe there's people who haven't heard on the Sermon on the Mount, so I don't have to respond. That's not it at all. But if we're troubled by these things, we should just remember St. Paul's discussion of these issues in the first couple chapters of Romans, that everyone is exposed to the revelation of God through the natural world. Everyone is given a conscience by which God enlightens them. Every one of us condemns ourselves every time we judge another. Every time we judge a person, we reveal, according to St. Paul, that we are aware that there is a moral structure and fiber, a proper way to live our life, something to respond to that's beyond ourselves. So everybody is given something by God. And the only question in our Gospel text today is, how are we going to respond to it? Everybody's given storms, and everybody's given, I kind of, for a word from God, a revelation of God. The question will be, are we going to respond to what he gives us? Are we going to say, oh, if I would have gotten what that person over there got, I'd be able to respond just fine. God didn't give me very much, he gave those other people plenty. But that's just not right. God gives us exactly what we need. Are we going to respond to it? And if we do, then we're like a house built on a solid rock. The storms will remain external storms. It doesn't mean that these people who are wise people will now no longer have any troubles or problems or difficulties in this life. If anything, it seems to me that the record is they may have more. They may go through more trials. Think of the case of Job. Think of how much it is that Satan likes to divide the church, to attack its leadership, to attack those people who are offering themselves to Christ as fully as they can. Satan loves to bring those people down. And furthermore, even just from God's point of view, he trains us and teaches us through trials. And so if we're responsive to his teaching, he'll push us harder, just like a good coach will push an athlete that he's coaching harder and harder and harder. The more you respond, you don't get more days off, you get more challenges to, as it were, maximize your skills, your performance. God's trying to maximize our holiness, our righteousness, our preparation for coming to see him. So there's no reason to think that the external storms are going to become less if we follow Christ's words. But the promise is that the kingdom of God will really take root in our hearts. The internal storms will dissipate. However much the world rages around us, inside of us will be calm. We won't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by every voice that we hear in this world. And in this very simple teaching that our Lord gives us, that we'll all have storms, we all have a revelation from Him to respond to. We just have to respond to it. And I want to say just very briefly, this is very inadequate to say the least, summary of the Sermon on the Mount, but just to remind you of what it is He's asking us to respond to, those of us who hear this word, who have the scriptures, who live our lives in the life of the church. We just sang the Beatitudes. That's how the Sermon on the Mount begins. Imagine if we could just follow the first Beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, the ones with crushed hearts, a broken and contrite heart of God you will not despise. We say it all of the time. Imagine if we could just do that. Or the second one, blessed are those who mourn. Mourn for their own sins, are brokenhearted. Don't let the pain of this world turn into something that's angry or violent or harsh or demanding or manipulative. But no, really have a brokenness, a mourning, an inner brokenness for the world that we live in and for our own pain and suffering, sin in this world. Imagine if we could do that. Go through the Beatitudes one by one. This is the blessed life. Wouldn't it be something? The external storms would not touch us if we could just live the Beatitudes. If we would just focus our attention on responding to those words of His, of Him to us. Later in chapter 5, we get all of these phrases where our Lord says, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you. You have heard that it was said, but I say to you. You have heard that it was said, but I say to you. Every time He quotes the Old Testament and He says, that's nowhere near enough. That's not even close. The life of following Christ is immeasurably more than following the Old Testament one. Don't return evil for evil. We give a blessing. Oh, that's from St. Peter. Sorry, turn the other cheek. I can't remember the beginning of that. You've heard it was said not to murder, but I say you don't even speak ill of another person. If you speak ill of another person, you've committed murder. You've heard it was said don't commit adultery, but I say to you, when you look at another person with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. Somebody asks you to carry something a mile, carry it 2 miles. On and on again, He tells us that we're not simply supposed to follow the law, we're supposed to offer our lives to other people. Don't just loan to those who can give you back with interest. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. This is the merciful life. The merciful life is a life that doesn't take our lives to be the center of the world, but offers ourselves to other people. Imagine if we could live that way. If we could follow our Lord's words and not care more about ourselves than we care about other people. So it's in this section of the Sermon on the Mount that we get the golden rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. That is, happens to you, but do to others as you would want to happen to you. Even if things don't go that way for you, even if your life is maligned and abused and troubled and disrespected, and still respond to others the way you would want them to treat you. So this whole offering of mercy to other people is this gift that is independent of what we get in return. It's the dissolution of economic relationships. True relationships have nothing to do with getting back when we give. And we can go further. At the beginning of the chapter 6 of the Sermon on the Mount, we get the pious life, doing the acts of piety, acts of mercy and kindness to other people, prayer and fasting, but really it's the hidden life. Our Lord tells us that the pious life has to be the hidden life. The main focus of those is not to give alms and pray and fast. We're told to do that all the time in the scriptures. But He tells us to do them in secret, not to do them for our own show, to draw attention to ourselves. If we could follow our Lord's words and not only diligently engaging in these pious practices, but doing it in such a way that it was only seen by our Father in heaven, then we truly would have this reward. And we can keep on going, living the anxious-free life, or the judgment-free life. Our Lord goes on, section after section of this sermon, in a way just begging us to follow after Him as the Good Shepherd. This is His voice. His sheep hear His voice and they follow Him. And if we hear that voice of the Sermon on the Mount and follow Him, then we'll be building our house on solid rock. We won't be immune from storms. We may even get more storms. But we'll be immune from inner storms, from a turbulence inside our hearts. So, I just encourage you to consider reflecting on the Sermon on the Mount for some period of time. During this season of Pentecost is a long time, but it takes some time. And just reflect on the Sermon on the Mount. It's only 3 chapters, 5, 6, 7, only 3 chapters. And just let it sort of sink in. Listen to those words. And remember that it's not hearing the words, but it's responding to those words that will make the difference in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.